This is the Joey English Show Red Hot Treasure Chest for Home and Services.
You've got a gift certificate from Crazy Mel's Burgers and Bar. Check out the best hamburger in town. 656-7563 for pickup. You've got a $50 gift certificate to First Gallery. They have a new website, 1stgalleryart.com, that is growing every day. Art has been adding to his collection over 40 years and is now selling it. Over 99% of this art has never been framed.
Hi, Joey pals. This is Art Hall. Come and see me at the gallery. I look forward to meeting you.
324-6696. You've got a gift certificate to JT's Diner. Check it out at jtsdinerpalmdesert.com. You've got a gift certificate from Laser Ink. We have refills. People don't know what to do to get their cartridge refills since Costco quit filling. Laser Ink has had them all along. They are an old-fashioned mom-and-pop store offering good old service, tips, and advice. They also have free delivery when you order supplies like ink and toner. Sales, repairs, and supplies for just about all office equipment.
Hi, this is Jack Lacey with Laser Ink and Central Printer Resources. Come on in and see me, Joey pals.
Check it all out at laser, L-A-S-R, ink.com. You've got a gift certificate from Lulu California Bistro. Palm Springs Life magazine readers and editors have named Lulu and Aqua California Bistro's winner in their annual Best of the Best 2021 awards, just announced in the August edition. Lulu and Aqua are both winners for Best California Cuisine. Lulu for Best Breakfast Brunch and Lulu for Best Takeout, which was also an editor's pick. It's always an honor to be recognized by our guest as their best. Lulu and Aqua are open daily for your dining pleasure. And Lulu is celebrating an anniversary. Lulu is turning 10, and there's a festive weekend plan for August 21st and 22nd. Come by for brunch, lunch, or dinner, and get a free cotton candy for the table to celebrate. Check it all out at lulupalmsprings.com. Okay, Joey pals, all of those wonderful things. We're just talking about them, Brian and I. Crazy Mel's that we love. First Gallery. More food. JT's Diner. Great, great, great breakfast. Laser Ink. Lulu California Bistro. Lulu. What did they say? There's always a party at Lulu's. You still have those five kids? Uh-oh. Well, our restaurant of the week has six. Marty has six. Five and six is, I'm nervous. There goes, oh, five and six. 11 plus my three. 14, wow. Right? We'll take the 14th caller, Joey pals, at 323-JOEY. 323-5639. On your mark, get ready, get set, go. We're almost 26 years old in the month of November. And almost 76 years old in the month of November. And thank you for being so loyal so far along the way. Dr. Brian Hodgkins from MyDOHC. Okay, the medicine cabinet is open.
You know, I was going to say, when you hear that number of children, five and six, it reminded me, you know, I've spent thousands of dollars childproofing my home over the years, and they still find a way to get in. I don't know how that works.
I like that. I'll use that. I'll steal that. Great one. Da-dum-dum. Okay, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Someone sent us a question. They said, please ask Dr. Brian. We read an article that said antiperspirants can lead to breast cancer.
Okay, let me take it. Inhale. Yeah. Exhale. Well, you know, this is an interesting question because it has been asked a lot and studied a lot by the National Institutes of Health. And I can tell you this. Here's why. I think a lot of people are concerned now, you know, not just during breast month, but, you know, anything in the axilla, in your armpit.
Near your breast.
That gets, gets swollen or irritated. And so aluminum-based antiperspirants, for the longest time, you know, the way it works is aluminum kind of clogs the sweat channel pores. And that keeps kind of,
that's what the whole basis.
Right. So people thought over time, you know, you might absorb aluminum. And it was thought that aluminum, if absorbed, had a twofold effect. One, it could act like an estrogen. You know, it would have an estrogenic type hormonal effect.
Gee whiz.
Or it would just be a direct irritant to breast tissue. So this has actually been studied. Now, in other countries, PABA, paraminobenzoic acid, is used in antiperspirants. And that's also been studied. So I can just say, in the data, there's two major studies, one in 2014 and other in 2018, have basically determined that there's no evidence that antiperspirants as comprised today in the U.S. or even in the international space can contribute to breast cancer. And I would say right now that that's probably in the don't worry about it.
Okay. D-W-A. Don't worry about it. Okay. Next question. Oh, Joey Powell said, we read there is, that always when it starts with we read or we saw, we heard, there's a new aspirin that will not cause ulcers to your stomach.
Okay. Well, let me answer it this way.
Okay.
The aspirin molecule has been toyed with and tinkered with for years. I mean, a good 80 years in trying to identify a correct dose and trying to find a way it may help. Remember, we used to use that high dose for
for
rheumatoid arthritis. Remember, you get 5 or 6 grams, it caused tinnitus and GI bleeds. So let's just look at it today. Here's the way I want to answer this. The US PSTF, United States Preventive Services Task Force, recently evaluated a low-dose aspirin, so 81 to 100 milligrams, as primary prevention for both coronary artery disease, so preventing heart attacks and strokes, and then colorectal cancer.
What?
And if you noted earlier this week, they changed their position on this. And let me just summarize it, probably easiest to say it this way. If you're 60 and above and you have any risk factors for cardiovascular disease, then it becomes a personal choice between you and your physician to determine whether or not low-dose aspirin
every day
could be beneficial. And here's what was noted. If you're 40 to 59 and you're higher risk but don't have disease active, don't start it. And if you're 70 and over, you don't have to start it either. Risks for the older folks, and this starts at 60, the risk of a GI bleed, so gastrointestinal bleeding, aspirin that causes a bleeding in your stomach or duodenum, is just a little bit equivalent to or a little bit higher than the benefit you would derive from taking it to prevent a heart attack or stroke.
Wow.
And given that evidence now, that is now a body of evidence that's been procured over, 10, 15 years, they're making this recommendation that you don't have to take it anymore. If you've had a heart attack and stroke, that's a different story. This becomes secondary prevention, and we know that that has a role. If you are in doubt, just talk to your physician or provider and have that conversation with them. Once again, below 60, high risk but no disease, don't worry about it. 60 and above, if you're high risk and have disease, you're probably going to need it because now it's secondary prevention. If you don't have disease active yet, talk to your doctor, and you make a decision. If you have no bleeding risks, right, you're not on any other blood thinner on platelets for any reason, which would make you be on aspirin, then you're probably okay taking the low dose, and it may give you marginal benefit over the risk of a GI bleed. And if you're older, then they're just going to recommend that now the GI bleeding risk is greater than the risk derived from the benefit of protective from anti-clotting and stuff like that. So
Understood.
So yes, I think that's a major change in the way that we've kind of looked at this over the years. So aspirin's still around.
Baby aspirin, too. Okay, here's question number 3. What are the long-term COVID effects on the brain?
Myalgic encephalopathy.
Which means?
encephalomyelitis. Well, here's
liquid.
No,
what is encephalomyelitis?
Myalgic encephalomyelitis. So here's,
boy, you rattle those off.
So here's the interesting thing. We've been talking about long. It's cool. They call it long haul COVID. Now I've even seen long tail COVID. We've been studying this. Once again, the collective U.S. health system has been looking at this because we know it affects literally one in three. The older you are when you got sick, the more severe the disease, are risk factors that are going to assure that you're going to have some long-haul COVID. We've seen kids with long-haul COVID. When you start to look, so here's the interesting thing. So in a recent journal article in Journal Neurology, they were looking specifically at the way COVID affects the brain. So we know it affects, fatigue, affects your ability to smell. Right, and or taste stuff. And now we're starting to think that it has other effects on the brain's function on the autonomic nervous system, which can lead to fatigue, tachycardia, with minimal exercise. There's lots of things that we're noticing. The sad thing is that we don't really have an answer for it yet. There's lots of theories. We've seen that the vaccine has helped people with long COVID who got vaccinated after being infected. They got better. But from concentration and memory, those types of things are all attributed now to long-haul COVID.
Wow.
So it's almost like when I said that before, myalgic encephalomyelitis, it's like a chronic fatigue syndrome that ensues after a COVID infection. So all those things about, just literally tired, can't get up. Right now, there's minimal. I think right now it's behavioral, and maybe some other medicinal approaches have been used, so antidepressants. Also vaccination if you haven't been, but we know it's going to be with us for a while. And honestly, we're learning still a lot about the way the virus has impacted our physiologic, psychologic,
everything.
Human system, yeah.
Yes. Okay, good questions, Joey Pals. Okay, wait. Oh, this we've been over in the past, but it came again from a concerned listener. Blood tests for cancer. So get a blood test that shows if you have a BRCA1/2 and all that.
Yes.
But you can go get a blood test and find out if you have any cancer.
Yeah, it's a good question because it can be confusing for clinicians and for the public. So there's a bunch of ways to look at this. So cancer blood test.
Curtain number one.
Okay. So there are things called tumor markers that are released from tumor cells that we can identify in your blood, and we track these specifically. Okay. These could be something like a PSA for prostate cancer,
understood,
right? Or a CA125. And cancers for pancreatic cancer, endometrial cancer, there's markers that we can test for. So that's one way we can identify, track, and trace what's happening.
Tumor markers. Curtain number two.
Right. If you have leukemia or lymphoma, that blood test is going to look different because we're looking at your cells. So that's a direct, observation, and then we can get a bone marrow biopsy. The interesting one, I think, that people are looking at is not so much the genetic and genomic testing, which are available right now. This is when they look at the tissue, they stain it, and then they do a bunch of genetic markers, especially for breast cancer. It's critical. Oncotyping can tell you the predictability by looking at the cells, the type of cells, and the mutations in the cells, whether or not you're even going to need chemotherapy after a lumpectomy or partial mastectomy.
Wow.
And so I think those types of tests, which are available today, are incredible because in the past, a woman would have got a mastectomy, radiation, and chemo. Today, it can tell you, your 9-year risk of recurrence based on scoring. So that's more like
that's
tissue.
Good.
Now, there is a new blood test. I'll say a new one because...
Wait, you have to tell me what you're calling number two. Number one is tumor markers.
Right.
Number two is...
This would just be for liquid tumors, like leukemia or lymphoma.
Liquid tumor.
Right.
Okay. It shows up in your blood.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Right.
Three.
And this is the interesting one that your reader or listener is probably talking about. There's a new test. It's called the Galeri test. And it's actually approved by the FDA.
Okay.
This one will test very early detection of 50 types of cancer with a blood test. Of the 50, 45 of those don't really have an active surveillance or screening program. So it's looking for either loose cells, you know, that have... So it's looking specifically at loose cells or you know, even tumor markers that are very low level, but that can be detected. This is something your doctor would have to order. We don't really know the utility of it just yet. You have to be, I think, over 45 to actually get the test, I mean, to qualify for the test.
Oh.
And it's around $1,000. So this is, I would say it's a screening cancer test that you would want to pick up something early. But once you get it done and it showed something, then you would have to go through all the diagnostic process. Well, let's just say, oh, you know what? It looks like you might have prostate cancer. Well, now I'm going to go and have to go through the entire diagnostic regimen to see whether or not I have prostate cancer.
But that's great news. Okay, as we come to the end of our second segment with Dr. Brian Hodgkins, we talked about most of the questions you got to me. Interesting about the breast cancer, the new aspirin, blood test, and the longer effects of COVID on the brain. What do you want to leave us with?
I've got COVID on the brain. I think I'm going to be a barnyard fowl for Halloween.
Oh, let me get my arms around that. Go ahead.
So I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon, and I'll just let you know.
Yes, I see. Let me just picture that. Thanks for stopping by. Gosh, we got through so much information. To continue the conversation, 9696555. Thanks, Brian. Here comes the first installment of the Joey English Desert Daily. What is it? The Joey English Desert Datebook. Joey Pals, this edition of the Joey English Desert Datebook is brought to you by the City of Palm Springs. PalmSpringsCA.gov. Amid growing concerns about the spread of the Delta variant and a surge in local COVID-19 cases, the Palm Springs City Council approved new safety requirements, including customers, employees, and other visitors are now required to wear face coverings in indoor settings, such as stores and restaurants, regardless of vaccination status. Proof of vaccine or a negative COVID-19 test within 72 hours is required indoors when entering a bar or restaurant. Businesses must implement these requirements by August 26th. And face coverings are now required at Village Fest. ACT Tours remind you there are 7 days in a week. Someday isn't one of them. Travel the world while you can with adult customized tours. The Palm Springs-based operator has been customizing vacations since 1976 to all seven continents. Go with a company you can trust that has been there, done that. 322-1247 or act-tours.com for a menu of both international tours and day excursions. Desert Water Agency asks, if you need help paying your water bill, go to dwa.org/H2O to see if you're eligible for a $200 credit. Do you want to save water and money? Go to dwa.org/save and learn about incentives on grass removal, smart controllers, and efficient sprinkler heads. Happy birthday, Desert Water Agency. Register for DWA's 60th anniversary webinar on September 15th at dwa.org/60. Check it all out at, guess what, dwa.org. Joey Pals, get your day timers ready and stay tuned for more of the Joey English Desert Datebook in the next hour. If you miss anything, go to joeyenglish.com.